I think we all know that real self-love is the foundation of the kind of intimacy that can fill our lives and our hearts long term. I'm not talking about bravado. I'm talking about one of the greatest treasures in life, real, true self-love. In this episode, you'll learn tools for how to stop abandoning yourself and how to cultivate that kind of true self-love. I'm going to be interviewing Margaret Paul, and she's about the greatest expert I know on this subject. I can't wait for you to hear what she has to say, so stay tuned to the Deeper Dating Podcast.
If you've ever been disillusioned, disappointed, or discouraged in your search for love, and you know there has to be a better way to find the healthy, soul-filling love you've always longed for, then you've discovered the podcast for you. I know, as Ken's work personally has led me to find the love of my life. So here's your host of Deeper Dating, Ken Page.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Deeper Dating. Today, we're going to talk about self-love, how to create and cultivate self-love, which is the most important ingredient for being able to find your beloved. And I cannot think of someone better, wiser, more insightful, more wisdom-filled around this subject than my dear, dear friend Margaret Paul, the co-creator of Inner Bonding. And I'll tell you a little bit about Margaret Paul in a moment, but what I want to say first is that this subject is indescribably important for all aspects of our lives, and hence just as fully for the wiser search for love. And this is what Margaret has focused her entire career on, is that deeper understanding. So Margaret Paul, Dr. Margaret Paul, is a best-selling author and a relationship expert and the co-creator of the powerful inner bonding self-healing process, which is recommended by actress Lindsay Wagner and singer Alanis Morissette and countless other people, myself included. And she's appeared on numerous radio and television shows, including Oprah, and her book titles include... I'll be right back after this. If you're interested in accelerating and deepening your search for love, I want to invite you to a very special project, the Deeper Dating Intensive. I only offer it twice a year, and it's a six-month journey working closely with me and an amazing community to transform each member's search for love. And you can learn more at deeperdatingintensive.com. And if it feels like a match, on that page you can set up a free one-on-one session with me to explore possibilities. I look forward to connecting if this speaks to you. Welcome back. Do I have to give up me to be loved by you? And do I have to give up me to be loved by God? And healing your aloneness, and of course, inner bonding, and the recently released Diet for Divine Connection. And Margaret has successfully worked with thousands of people around the world and taught classes and seminars for over 50 years and changed countless lives, including my own. So I'm just very grateful and excited that we're going to get to dive into this incredibly important subject with the wonderful Dr. Margaret Paul. Welcome, Margaret.
Thanks, Ken. It's great to be here with you.
It's great to have you here. And today we're going to do some deep work for our listeners so that when they leave this podcast and this video, they're going to really be able to have some very real tools for deepening their self-love and changing their search for love as a result of that. So, Margaret, could you tell us about the importance of self-love and how it's found and how it's not found?
Well, it's, you know, self-love is actually vitally important for all aspects of life, but especially in relationships, because first of all, we attract at our common level of self-love or our common level of self-abandonment. So if we want to attract somebody who's going to love us, who's going to share love, we've got to learn how to become that person. First, we've got to learn to become our own beloved in order to attract another beloved. Because if we're abandoning ourselves, which most of us learn to do, as we were growing up. And I can talk about the four major ways. Would you like me to talk about the four major ways people abandon themselves?
Sure. Let us briefly know about that. That's important.
Yeah, so most of us have learned these four ways without realizing that it's self-abandonment. One of them is that we learn to stay up in our head rather than be present in our body. Because when we were little, we couldn't manage big feelings. Big feelings were overwhelming. And so we learned to go up in our head, but our feelings are in our body. So let's say that you have a child who comes to you feeling upset, and instead of attending to the upset, you just, you know, go play on your computer or something. You go up in your head. That child's going to feel abandoned, going to feel rejected. Well, that's what happens with our feelings, and we can call our feelings an inner child, and we feel rejected on the inner level when we stay up in our head and we ignore our feelings. Then another thing that most of us have learned to do is judge ourselves harshly. You're not good enough. What's the matter with you? You'll never make it. You're going to end up on the street. You're ugly. You're fat. Whatever it is. We go on and on with self-judgment, believing that this will motivate us to do better. But all it does is really make us feel anxious, make us feel depressed. And, you know, again, if you had a child you treated that way, that child would feel terrible, would feel unloved and rejected and abandoned. And that's what happens on the inner level. And this is the cause of so much pain. And then we don't realize. So we don't realize we're the cause of the pain. So let's say we judge ourselves, we end up feeling anxious. Then we turn away from the anxiety instead of moving towards it, instead of being open to learning and saying, what am I telling myself? How am I treating myself that's causing this? We then may turn to various addictions. Oh, I'm anxious. I better eat. I better have a drink. I better smoke a cigarette. I better watch TV. I better go try and have sex. You know, whatever it is. I better go shopping. Whatever it is to avoid the feelings.
And let me just interject here that it's so clear that this is the hero's journey, because this is a journey of bravery and dignity and authenticity. And what I love about your work is you don't shy away from the truth, that we have to answer these questions, that we have to embody our feelings. So go ahead. I just wanted to acknowledge the power of that.
Yeah, it takes courage to move towards our feelings rather than away from them, to embrace them and learn from them. But you know, if you know, again, if you had a child and the child was upset or anxious and you just went and grabbed a drink, that child's going to feel rejected. So again, that happens on the inner level. And finally, one of the big ways in relationships is that we make somebody else responsible for our feelings. You know, instead of taking care of ourselves, valuing ourselves, learning to truly love ourselves, we say, oh no, I'm not okay unless that person loves me, that person approves of me. So once again, the child analogy, if you had a child and said, look, I'm not going to be the one to love you. You got to go impress that person. And if they like you, then you're okay. Well, that's going to create all kinds of stress in the child, all kinds of pressure. And that's what happens on the inner level. We pressure ourselves and say, that person has to define our worth. That person has to make us feel safe and worthy, instead of learning to do that for ourselves.
Yes.
And so then when we're abandoning ourselves in all of these ways, we're going to attract somebody who's doing the same thing. And that's going to create an unhappy relationship.
Yes, yes, so true. You know, just to say a few things about this, I just want to acknowledge the presence of mystery in this, because when we do this step of embracing our feelings and being in our feelings, there is a mystery. There's a sense of, I can't, I just can't do this. And there's a discovery that happens in that process. We actually discover who we are by embracing the mystery of, how am I going to bear this feeling? And you give us a pathway to get through that potentially very terrifying situation there. And then I also want to say that there's a mystery with other people, because often when we abandon ourselves and look to them for acceptance, there's an interrelationship, and we don't do all the work ourselves. We do it in relationship to them, but that involves being able to embrace ourselves first and then reach out and honor our needs in the context of the relationship as well as there. So I'm just acknowledging such mystery and learning, such such things happen when we do this that we don't have the answer to when we start.
Well, and if we didn't have the mystery, life would be very boring.
You know it.
Yeah, the mystery is the essence of learning and growing.
Yeah.
And it brings the juice into life and the juice into relationships. And, you know, but the wounded part of ourselves, that ego part of ourselves, wants predictability, doesn't want mystery, wants to know what's going to happen and predict everything and control everything. And that's the problem. But that's also the part of us that can't handle our feelings. And so when we say to ourselves, well, I can't handle this, I can't bear this, we have to realize that we're operating out of this ego wounded part of ourselves who's a child or adolescent and who can't manage our feelings.
Right.
So as people learn and practice the inner bonding process that I teach, they learn to develop what's called a loving adult self who is open to learning, curious, loves the mystery, and is able to access our source of love, our higher wisdom, whatever that is for a person. And that's what gives us the strength and the resiliency to go in and learn from our feelings rather than avoid them.
And how do you create this loving adult? How can our listeners, how can our viewers take the next steps in the journey after doing what you've done to actually develop a connection with a loving adult self, especially those people who feel like, I have never had that. I've always been endlessly criticizing myself.
Well, I asked that question too. When Spirit kind of brought in this six-step inner bonding process, I thought, okay, I'm supposed to be a loving adult, but I have no idea how to do that.
Right.
My parents didn't role model that. You know, we can look around society. Where's the role models for a loving adult? And that's when we realized that we have to be able to access a higher source of wisdom. And this is not so hard as people think it is, because we live, science has actually proved that we live in this energy of love and wisdom. It's here. The space around us is not empty. It's filled with love and wisdom. But it exists at a higher frequency than we normally operate at. And so if in the inner bonding process, there's only two intentions. One is the intention to protect against pain, shutting down, abandoning ourselves, avoiding it any way we can, which lowers our frequency and makes it impossible for us to access that wisdom. But the other intention is to open to learning about loving ourselves. And when we truly open to learning and we keep our body fairly clean with good food rather than a whole lot of junk food, which bogs us down, then we can raise our frequency high enough. And It's not actually that hard. People are amazed that if they're eating pretty well and they're open to learning and they start to ask questions, even if they're just asking the air questions like, well, what would be in my highest good right now? What would be loving to me right now? What's the truth about this situation right now? You start to get answers coming in.
You actually do. And yeah. I want to chime in here and really validate that. Some of the steps in the inner bonding process and steps that I teach in my inner mentor work, which are the communication between your current self and a higher self. When you just do that, when you just set up a communication, you will be amazed at how you bypass the circuitry of self-criticism. And you go into this zone of wisdom that is so readily available. And for all of those of you who don't eat well, I want to tell you that, yes, it raises your frequency to eat well. But even if you're eating McDonald's, you can still do this process and you will get insight. And the insight might be to eat a little bit better at certain points. But don't wait for that to do this process of this kind of inner dialogue.
Yeah. Now, the thing is that, you know, eating well will make it easier. One of the things that I discovered, because it's been really important to me to have what I call at-will divine connection. That's what my new book, Diet for Divine Connection, is about. It's beyond junk food and junk thoughts to at-will spiritual connection. That's what I've wanted. I wanted to feel it all the time, to know I'm never alone, to be having that information come in all the time. And if you want that, you can have it, but then you have to have the discipline to eat well. Other than that, you know, if you want it here and there, if you want to, you know, ask it and open to it, that's great. Like you said, it can come in. But living with that nonstop connection is truly an amazing way to live. It's so different than how I used to live, where I used to try and figure out what was right for me and what was going on and what should I do and what's the best thing and how to make decisions and all that. I don't do that anymore.
Yes, and that's a wonderful thing. And as you grow in this process that we're talking about, that will come easier and easier to you. I want to now talk about the search for love and how this applies to dating. Because dating is one arena where our pain and our self-criticism gets activated so often. And if we're saying that the core of the wiser search for love, and that's what we're all about in this podcast and in this work, is the wiser, more effective search for love, how, Margaret, does this translate to the search for love? And what can single people who are listening do to actually directly be able to shift their search for their beloved with these ideas?
Well, first of all, if people start to practice step one of inner bonding, which is staying present in their body, this is where their feelings are, and this is where their inner knowing, their intuition is. If they're in their head and they meet somebody, if they're already abandoning themselves and somebody comes on really strong and is very charming and wants a relationship right away and says the greatest things and tells them how fabulous they are, they might not be able to tune into the level of narcissism that might be going on there. They may be very vulnerable to somebody like that, and they open and they get hurt. And so
beautiful. Incredibly important point.
Yeah, it's really important that we have to be tuned into ourselves. We have to be present with ourselves, because that inner guide, our feelings are a source of inner guidance. And if we're disconnected, then how do we know what's happening?
That's right. That's right. So folks, take this in. This is really big. All of you daters, when you're dating, move out of your head, because your head's going to be telling you, am I attracted to this person? Is this person attracted to me? What is this person's resume like? Does my hair look okay? Et cetera, et cetera. When you go down into your body, you will pick up wisdom. You will get a feel of what the energy is like between you and this person. So all daters out there, listen to this. Drop down into your feelings, because you'll get hugely different information than you will from your head.
Oh, yeah. And I just finished teaching my 30-day course, Attracting Your Beloved, and I'm getting feedback from people. I say, wow, this is such a different experience to go out with somebody and not be thinking about what are they thinking about me, but to think about how do I feel with them? What am I picking up?
Huge.
What do I enjoy being with their energy? What's happening here?
Yes, if nothing else, this nugget is gold and it's life-changing. And there's obviously so much more, but I just want to highlight this. This is a beautiful, beautiful tool for every one of you to take into your search for love.
Right. And so, you know, if people practice getting in their body, being present, then they're going to have that intuition. They're going to know. But if they're also learning to love themselves, to bring that love inside, learning with their higher source who they are, these core gifts that you talk about, which are so important. If we don't know who we are inside, if we don't know these beautiful gifts that we might have grown up discounting, judging, you know, sometimes it's the most beautiful parts of ourselves, like our sensitivity, our creativity. If we don't know who we are inside, then we're going to make that person responsible for defining us.
That's so true. And you know, Margaret, even in your words, just those words, folks, those words, knowing who you are inside, it evokes a feeling of love. It evokes a feeling of self-appreciation. And it's a really wonderful, it's a self-love question.
Right. And so when you're operating from not that place of neediness where you need somebody else's attention or somebody else's approval, but you're operating from that place where, oh boy, I love and value my beautiful gifts inside of me, then you're not going to be abandoning yourself with that person. You're not going to be saying, oh, look at this person is giving me all this approval and all this attention. This might be the right person for me. It might not at all. And
that's
if
right.
You're really, really connected to yourself, you would know that.
Absolutely. And if you spill soup on your blouse or your shirt, you might have a moment where you get upset at yourself. But when you do this process, you'll come back to your innate value. If you say the wrong thing, the same thing, because dates are full of slip-ups. And here's actually a really interesting point. There's something called the pratfall effect, which is that if you make like some kind of ridiculous mistakes in dating, that's actually something that can endear you to the other person. Mm-hmm. So having this voice of kindness that you're describing, Margaret, is just huge. And in the strange land of dating, it's invaluable. So tell us more.
And talking about kindness, one of the things that we stress in inner bonding is moving out of that self-judgment and into compassion. Kindness. Compassion is so important for ourselves. So if you make that mistake, you don't want to be beating yourself up. You want to be kind and compassionate towards yourself.
Yes.
Again, other people are going to reflect how we treat ourselves.
Yeah, that's true. So, that's true. And how much dating advice do we get that captures this wisdom? Not too much.
No, not too much at all. Yeah. People don't realize how treating ourselves gets reflected.
Well said.
Other people.
Yeah.
And so that's a big reason why it's so important to learn to see and value and love yourself. It was amazing to me, Ken, what happened when I started loving myself, because I didn't used to be treated well, not by my family, I just wasn't treated well. And I didn't know. I was such a nice person. Why shouldn't people treat me well? But I was so self-abandoning. I was a caretaker. I was taking care of everybody else, completely abandoning me. And I was thinking that if I caretake other people, then they'll care about me, not realizing that giving myself up and trying to take care of them was a form of control. Nobody likes to be controlled. It's a subtle form of control. And so people would treat me badly. It was like I had a sign on my back that said, kick me. I was kicking myself. I was ignoring myself. As I learned to love myself and value my core gifts, then people started treating me well. It was really amazing.
So, Margaret, you're actually talking about an entirely different approach to the search for love that is literally based at its core on self-love.
That's right. That's right. You know, it was so interesting. A little story here. I was once conducting one of my 5-day intensives, and there was a man there that his wife had said, you have to come, because he'd been having affairs. And so he talked about the fact that he could, when he was with a woman, he could tune into exactly what she needed to hear. He had that capacity to tune into exactly what she needed to hear. And then she would go to bed with him. And so, and he revealed all of this in the intensive. And so everybody knew that he knew how to do that. But a couple of days later, some of the women came to me and said, look, I know what he's doing, but he's doing it to me. And he's so good at it that I'm getting pulled in. Mm. And what I said to them is, that's an indication that you're needing to see those things in yourself. He's tuning into what you're not seeing in yourself. And it's like you're hungry for somebody to see these gifts that you have. And it makes you vulnerable to somebody like that.
So true. So true. There is a dignity that happens when we learn to honor ourselves and value ourselves. And I want to say something else about that. That does not mean that we need to become hardened. And we can remain generous, kind people. And that's, if you could say something about that, Margaret, because I know in your life and in your teachings, you don't just stress, stay away from toxic people, stay away from narcissists, fend them off. You teach love. You teach love, not that you're going to give yourself away to narcissists, but you never let go of the importance of kindness and compassion. So if you could say more about that.
Yeah, well, the thing is, the more you learn to treat yourself with kindness and compassion, the more you can not only see the beautiful core essence of others, but you can see their woundedness You can see that wounded child in them and you can feel compassion for them. It doesn't mean that you want to spend a lot of time with them if they're coming from a lot of woundedness, but it also doesn't mean that you're going to be harsh and mean and rejecting. Because when you learn to be a kind, caring, and compassionate, loving adult to yourself, that extends out to others. It extends out to everybody. It's unconditional. And that's what we want to aim for, is that unconditional love towards ourselves and extend that out to others. Doesn't mean that you want to be with that person or have a relationship with them, but it doesn't mean that you're mean or unkind with them either.
So true. So true. So let's move along a little further with the inner bonding process and how it really applies and how self-love really applies to the search for love. So you approach it with an attitude of openness, of wanting to learn. You have a willingness to take responsibility for yourself and to notice what your feelings are. And you get into a jam with somebody, you're dating someone, and you just get into a bewildering, messy situation. What tools do you use in this process? How do you continue with this? Okay, and you're losing self-love, let's say, in the process.
Yeah. So what I tell people is really there's only two loving ways of managing a conflict with somebody. One is you move into an intention to learn with them and see if they're going to be open to it. So let's say we're having a conflict and I might say, you know, Ken, there must be a good reason that, you know, that you're upset about this or you're feeling this way. And I know there's a good reason I am. I'm wondering if we can just talk about it and learn and explore and see what comes of it. Beautiful. That's my first choice, is to be open to learning. But if somebody is closed, let's say you do that and somebody says, oh, don't give me that psychobabble, and just goes on trying to win or control or be mean, then the only other healthy response is what I call lovingly disengaging. And to lovingly disengage, it means you don't like march away muttering how stupid this person is or how unloving they are and what's the matter with them. You just say, you know, I don't think we're going to get anywhere right now. So I'm going to go, I'm feeling a little hurt. I'm going to go take care of my feelings. I'll check in with you in half an hour. Maybe we can talk about it then. One of the things that people don't accept well is that we cannot get anywhere unless we're both in our adult with an intention to learn. If we have gone down into that ego wounded part of us, when we're in that state, we are in the lower part of our brain called the amygdala. And in that state, we can't hear each other. There's no logic. There's no access to the higher brain. We just want to win. We want to not lose. We want to protect ourselves from being hurt. And we don't hear each other. And so we can't get anywhere when one or the other or both of us are not open to learning.
So important. But that's so hard, right? Because you have this impulse to stay in and get your point across and finally get heard.
And how often do you?
Yeah, right. Pretty much never.
The person can't hear you.
Never. Yeah. Yeah. Wonderful wisdom. That's great. That's great. And if the person repetitively is not available for that, or even worse than isn't available for it, shames you or blames you for who you are, then you have more information about kind of a chronic feature in this relationship that may not be fixable at this point.
Yeah, and one of the things that I stress when I work with people who are looking to date is that, number one, first they have to make sure they're open to learning. And then being open to learning has to be high on the list of who they choose. And very often they're not going to know this until there's conflict. What
right.
People do in conflict.
It's so true. There's a Native American saying, which is, you don't know somebody until you have your first fight.
Right. That's right.
Yeah. Yeah,
yeah, and there's that Chinese symbol of conflict, where one meaning is conflict and the other is opportunity. And conflict is an opportunity to learn if you're open to learning. But if this person, you may be very attracted to them, but if in conflict they shut down, they get mean, they withdraw, they resist, they're just not open to it, that does not bode well. You are not going to be able to reach resolution for things. And that's very important information for you.
That's very, very true. It's very true. Now, Let's say you're with someone. I'm just throwing out different possibilities that you're kind of reflecting back a very wonderful filter of self-love. Let's say you're in the process of dating someone and you're falling in love with that person. And they still, you feel their integrity, their decency, their goodness, but they're not quite falling in love with you yet. They're still interested, but it's a hard point. You know, you maybe want to give it more time, but it's a very vulnerable point, and it's really easy to get needy at a time like that. What do you do when your feelings are growing faster than the other person's? And while we're at it, the very reverse.
Yeah. Well, see, once again, if you're really taking loving care of yourself, if you're staying connected to yourself and you're not making that person responsible for you and putting yourself in a needy space, then you're fine letting that person take as long as they want. We don't get so attached to the outcome when we're staying connected to ourselves, when we're holding ourselves with love, when we're not handing ourselves away to the other person. We don't get so attached to what happens with them. And the reverse too. If you feel that somebody's falling in love with you and you're not there, you don't take responsibility for their feelings. And if they're not willing to just take care of themselves and give you the time you need to get there, then they're not the right person for you. If they get really needy and demanding and make you responsible for how they feel, then this isn't going to work. And that's one of the big things that I teach with people, because I've worked with couples for over 50 years. And the thing that they need to learn is they need to learn how to take responsibility for their own feelings. And this is a big part of inner bonding, is learning how to do that rather than, okay, I'm falling in love with this person, but they're great, but they're not committed to me. And now I'm feeling anxious and now I'm feeling stressed out. I'm responsible for that. I'm responsible for what I'm telling myself, how I'm treating myself, how I might be abandoning myself, what aspect of my worth am I attaching to how this person feels about me. And if I'm not taking that responsibility, I'm going to try and control that person in various ways. I'm going to push them. Well, you're taking so long, and when do you think you're going to know? And what do you think that does? Pushes them away.
Yeah. Now, what about those of us who are in a middle kind of state where we can't achieve that kind of full responsibility for self, but we've progressed in that path? What about the ability to just share our inability to do that and all of our feelings with our partner? What about kind of the concept of healing together when we aren't finished healing alone?
Yeah, and it's unrealistic to think that we're going to be finished healing alone.
That's right.
Offer a wonderful arena for healing together, as long as that's the agenda, as long as both people are open to learning and they can say, look, we're not there. We don't yet know how to take responsibility for ourselves, but we want to learn together. We want to support ourselves and each other in this learning and healing process. That's right.
And that's intimacy. That's just true intimacy. That's a sexy, warm, wonderful human thing.
Yeah. And it's not realistic to think, oh, I have to get enlightened before I can be in a relationship. No, it's not like that. And that's why I say one of the most important things is for you to be open to learning about yourself, about what you're doing, about your feelings, and for the other person. But you don't have to be an expert at it. You don't have to do it right all the time. You just have to have that intention.
What are the tools that you most have loved in your own relationship life, in your intimacy life with people you care about? What are the inner bonding tools that have helped you the most? And if you could actually tell us a story from your own life about a time you've really grown in self-love in a difficult situation. I know I'm putting you on the spot here, but you're Margaret Paul, so I feel like I can do that.
You know, there's a lot that's happened, for example, with my kids, because I went through a period quite a while ago. I was the caretaker. I gave myself up with everybody, and including them. And when you give yourself up and I was Mother Earth, didn't take care of myself at all. Well, when inner bonding came into my life and I started taking care of myself, nobody was happy about that.
Yeah.
No one. you're caretaking, you're giving yourself up, you're being there for everybody, and suddenly you're starting to take care of yourself, they get pretty mad about it. And so I had to go through this with my kids. And sometimes it still comes up because, unfortunately, they were all late teens by the time I started to take care of myself. And so I have had to be a role model. I have had to stand very firm when there's been demands on me to give myself up and caretake them. And that's what I do. And I still do that. It's challenging sometimes, but I know that underneath there's a kind of respect for me that was never there before because I wasn't respecting myself. And so, and the result is that the life I live now, Ken, I have such a dream life. I absolutely love my life because I'm not giving myself up to my loved ones. I stay tuned into what's right for me. I do what's right for me. And what happens for me is that I end up feeling so much love.
How wonderful. How wonderful. So I'm going to get nitty gritty again here and say, everybody confronting the world of online dating, it's like, oh my God, okay, so I have to online date. That's like the only way to meet people. But it's a complex kind of thing because there are such challenges with online dating, such bad behavior, such impersonality. Tell us some inner bonding self-love tools for people who are entering into that kind of very strange and often deeply impersonal world of online dating.
So one of the things that I tell people is online dating is a great way to practice your intuition. Because let's say that you meet somebody and you feel some connection and maybe you start to email or you start to talk. Practice tuning into what's happening on the energy level, the frequency level, not what's happening on the outward level, but practice tuning into what's happening inside with your feeling self. Like, let's say you connect to somebody, but you get a feeling that something's off. Well, you know, follow through, see what happens. And then you might find out, yes, indeed, something is very off. And then that validates your inner knowing. So see it as practice. I tell people, go practice.
Yes.
Go practice trusting yourself. Go practice.
Go practice trusting yourself. What a great way to think of going out there to date. Go practice trusting yourself.
Right.
Think about that, everybody. How fabulous, how different would it be if that was your intention for dating, that you were going out to practice trusting yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Now, but I want to bring up something else too, which is the areas where we can't trust ourselves, those strange areas. And both of us as psychotherapists know about this so well, where fear comes in and tricks us and we trick ourselves and our guts and our feelings are telling us things like, get out of here, this person is not right for you, or whatever it is that is actually based on terror manifesting as a desire to flee, manifesting as a strong feeling. Can you talk about that, those strong feelings that feel real but are actually projections of fear?
Yeah. So one of the things that I teach, like, let's just talk about fear. There's two kinds of fear. There's fear of real and present danger. Somebody is attacking you in the moment. A mountain lion comes out of a tree and jumps on you. That's real fear, right? The kind of fear you're talking about is fear that's coming from that programmed ego wounded part of ourselves that makes things up all the time.
And tricks us, literally. It's a master illusionist.
Right, but here's the thing that I teach. Uh-huh. If you're feeling fear, but there's nothing happening at that moment, then that fear is letting you know, the information that that fear is giving you is that you've put that ego part of yourself in charge who has no access to truth at all. That part of us is that's in the lower part of the brain. It has a very low frequency. It cannot access any source of truth. So the fear itself is letting us know that that part of us is telling us lies.
Yes, yes. You know, and there's a great quote in 12-step programs, which is that in certain arenas of our life, our thoughts are not a safe neighborhood to be alone in.
That's right.
And this is one of them.
And that's why step one of inner bonding is going inside, breathing in, and tuning into your feelings. Your feelings of anxiety, depression, guilt, shame, anger, terror, aloneness, emptiness, jealousy, all these feelings are what I call wounded feelings that come from the lies we tell ourselves. They're not based on reality. They're based on our programmed false beliefs.
So you're saying that all of these painful feelings are connected to false beliefs that we're telling ourselves, our insecurity, our loneliness, our hurt.
Not necessarily our loneliness. See, I divide feelings into two kinds. There's the existential feelings of life. Like, let's say you're open and you want to share love, but there's nobody around to share it with, or whoever is around isn't open, you're going to feel lonely. That's an existential feeling of life. You're not causing it. It's coming because of life. Or grief. You lose somebody you love. Or heartbreak. Somebody's being really mean to you, or mean to others, or mean to themselves. And then you might feel helpless over them, which is also an existential feeling because we don't have control over them. So these are what I call the existential painful.
Yes, makes sense. Yeah.
Then there's the other ones, the anxiety, depression, guilt, shame, anger, aloneness, emptiness. Aloneness comes when we're abandoning ourselves. That's different than loneliness, which is when we want to connect with somebody else. And so when we feel these wounded feelings, we have to know that we're causing them with our false beliefs. And in inner bonding, you go inside, you move into compassion for these, you decide you want responsibility, then you move into the intention to learn and you access your compassion. And then you explore, you go in and say, what am I telling you from this wounded part of me? How am I treating you from this wounded part of me that's causing you to feel this way? My inner child is telling me with the anxiety and fear and depression that I'm treating her in some way that's a lie, that's coming from false beliefs. And so I can start to understand these kind of subconscious or unconscious false beliefs by tuning into these feelings and looking at what I'm doing to create them.
So am I hearing you say that the way we know the difference between these existential feelings and the kind of more neurotic feelings are by tuning into our feelings and asking our inner child what's going on, and then doing the process then of having a dialogue with our higher self, our wiser self, to be able to suss this out, to be able to separate what is a pain being caused from wrong thinking and what's a pain that just comes from a valid existential part of our humanity.
Right, that's right, that's right. And there are different kinds of feelings. There's only so many of those existential feelings. I mean, I've isolated maybe 7 or 8 of them, like fear of real and present danger. You want to pay attention to that.
Yes.
That's telling you something. You know, sorrow over our planet or how people are treating each other. These are existential feelings, like, you know, along with the heartache, the heartbreak, the loneliness, the grief. These are existential feelings. But all of those other feelings, like the anxiety and the depression that so many people have in our culture, people don't realize that there's two major causes of that. And that's why I talk about in the Diet for Divine Connection. There's the self-abandonment, telling ourselves the lies, judging ourselves, predicting the future, which the wounded self loves to do. Tell us all the bad things that are going to happen, which we have no way of knowing.
And which is so absolutely compelling.
From the food, because when we're eating junk, we're creating an imbalance in our gut. And the research shows now that that creates toxicity and it goes right up the vagus nerve into the brain. And it's a big reason for people being anxious and depressed.
Very important point.
Brain gets toxic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that word toxic, I think, is a really important one. In our intimacy life, when do we sense the presence of something toxic in our feelings? Toxic toward us, toxic toward other people. That's a sign that there's wounding going on. Sadness, yes. Grief, even anger. Those are their own feelings. But when there's this toxic feeling, this attack feeling, that's an indication that some deeper healing work is needed. And relationships are such a powerful place for that to play out.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
If we're feeling, I mean, we may be being toxic to ourselves with food and with self-judgment and all that, but we could also be feeling the toxicity with another person. And that's why we need to be staying tuned in to
that. So important. So important. So I think I'm taking away as one of the greatest pieces of wisdom of this, that an act of self-love is a commitment to know what it is that you're feeling, to go into your feelings and begin to honor and dignify and learn from them. That's almost the central source, the beginning, the ground of a self-loving perspective. Does that seem
true?
That's
so true. That is so true. Because in inner bonding, what we encourage people to do is move towards their feelings. What everybody's learned to do is move away from their feelings.
Yeah.
And that's the self-abandonment, that you move away, but you want to move towards them. You want to listen. You want to learn what they're telling you about how you're treating yourself or what's going on with another person or situation. Our feelings are a very powerful source of inner guidance.
You know, Margaret,
it's
so true. It's so true. And I just would like to tell a story about inner bonding for me. My husband and I were getting close to getting married, and being procrastinators, we had done nothing, and the wedding date was getting closer and closer and closer, and I was getting really, really afraid. And this was an existential fear, because our wedding date was really coming close. And I remember waking up in the morning, opening my eyes, my husband was still sleeping, and I thought, oh boy, we're really in trouble. We have to get to work. We have to really create a lot of wonderful stuff, and really quickly at this point. And I said, I'm going to use the inner bonding process. And I lay there in bed, and I felt the pain of what we had not done. I went through every one of the steps. And in that process, I went from feeling very pretty anxious and upset to feeling empowered, smooth, calm, clear, and self-loving, which is my experience of the inner bonding process. And in a moment or two, I'm going to ask you to tell people where they could learn more about it after I ask for some last wise words. But I went upstairs, and within a very short period of time, I was able to use all of the choices we made and find the cake, the musician, the rings, the, you know, everything fell into place. And my husband woke up and was so happy with it. We had been ditzing around, but the process, John Lennon said it. He said, and when you're one, really one, will you get things done like they've never been done? And that was my experience. So I've used the inner bonding process in so many different ways, but that was the first time I used it, and the first time I realized the wonderful power that it has.
That's great. That's great.
Yeah, yeah. So Margaret, before I ask you to tell people how they can learn more about your incredibly important, valuable work, and if you're working on self-love, Margaret's the go-to person, I would say. Inner bonding is the go-to process. But before we do that, do you have any last words for our single folks who want to understand self-love and transform the way that they search for love?
Well, you know, I recommend they learn inner bonding and practice inner bonding, because everything changes on the inner level. Everything changes with the energy when you really see and love and value yourself. And like with the people that I work with who are looking for a relationship, like so many of these people just took my Attracting Your Beloved course, and they said, you know what? I am so excited about myself. I am so excited about who I am. And I know I'm going to find somebody. It's going to be completely different than what I did in the past. But I'm so happy now that I don't feel needy. Like, my happiness is not dependent on finding somebody. My worth is not dependent on finding somebody. And what I've seen over and over is when a person's happiness, well-being, and worth is not dependent on finding a partner. That's when they find their partner. That's when they draw that person in who's right for them. Mm. But when they're abandoning themselves and they're needy, they're not going to draw in the right person.
So true. And folks, if you're needy, don't blame yourself. Just don't just practice not abandoning yourself.
That's
the solution to neediness is not self-shaming. It's self-love. Thank you.
Well, yeah. If you're needy, that's just an indication. That's just information. See, if you shame yourself, you cut off learning. Shaming, judgment cuts off all learning. So if you feel needy, if you feel like you're attaching your worth and your happiness to somebody else, open to learning about it. There's no point in judging or shaming it. You're just going to cut off the learning. So
Absolutely.
Say, there must be a good reason that I'm feeling needy right
exactly.
now.
Exactly.
Learn about that.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And need is a very deep human emotion, but need shamed turns into neediness. So,
well, yes, there's a lot we need from others. We need people to have our back. We need people to learn and grow with. We need people
yes.
to share love with, to play with, to laugh with, to grow with, to have passion with. We need each other. But that's different than making somebody else responsible for your worth and your safety in life.
Margaret, thank you for these beautiful, powerful, and inspiring lessons in self-love. I hope all of you take these ideas home with you, practice them, play with them, enjoy them, and learn more about the inner bonding method, which is a method that I adore and speak about and believe in very strongly. Margaret, how can people learn more about your work?
They can just go to innerbonding.com.
Perfect.
Go to innerbonding.com. We have a free course, which will give them the backbone of inner bonding. And there's thousands of articles about it on the site. There's lots of free help. Then there's, of course, courses. There's the books on inner bonding. There's workshops. There's intensives. There's so many ways that people can learn and practice inner bonding. But to get started, I would suggest people take our free inner bonding course,
which is fabulous, and I've taken it along with many other courses of Margaret's, and that free course is wonderful, and it just captures the essence of inner bonding. So my strong recommendations for that as well. Margaret, it has been a joy to have you here on the Deeper Dating podcast, and just thanks so much for all you've taught us.
Well, thank you so much, Ken. It's been a pleasure to spend this hour with you.
Vice versa. Thank you, and thank you, everybody.
And that's it for today's episode of Deeper Dating. Be sure to go to deeperdatingpodcast.com as Ken has a few more gifts for you. Then join us on the next episode.